This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Chukas, and of course, Parshas Chukas begins with the discussion, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the decree of the Torah. Now why is Parah Aduma selected as the paradigm of a chuk in the Torah? After all, Shatnas and Kashas are also chukim. So why single Parah Aduma out, Zos, with the introduction of this? So Rav David Feinstein Zatzal explained that the idea that ash from a red cow has the ability to cleanse someone from an impurity is something we'll never fully understand. It's a metaphor for the Torah, which has the ability to cleanse someone from the impurities of this world, and we do not know or understand why or how it works. We don't fully get how it takes one who's barred from being in Hashem's house to becoming one who's beloved there. What we do know is that it exists, and that we are beneficiaries of that existence. Zos Chukas HaTorah. We're also told to take a Parah Aduma asher lo ala aleha ol, that has no blemish and never had a yoke placed on it. Now, the metaphor of the yoke is used in accepting Ol Malchus Shamayim because one attached to a yoke can't deviate from the path, from the driver's designated path. The Chozel of Lublin used to say that if one thinks that he's without defect, it's because he hasn't accepted the yoke of Shamayim on himself. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal used to explain that one bound to the Torah doesn't allow himself to be complacent in his growth, for that would be tantamount to making himself into his own God, as after all, there's no idolatry that's worse than self-adoration. Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amas Ba'ohel. We're told this is the Torah when a person dies in the tent. And Rav Shechter Shalita would explain that Atam Kriyam Adam Vein Umos Olam Kriyam Adam. We're called Adam, and the nations of the world are not called Adam because there's no plural for Adam. There are Anoshim, but there are no Adamim. By Am Yisrael, there's a concept of unity. Atam Kriyam Adam. But not by other nations. This isn't a racial statement, quite the opposite. It's just a statement of the fact that we have an ability to achieve a certain unity, and we just need to work at it and try at it. A very, very important yesod from Mori V'Rabbi. We're told that afterwards, Bnei Yisrael were complaining about the water situation, and Moshe was told to go with Aaron and speak v'dibartem el asela le'enehem v'nasan meimav, that you should speak to the rock before the rise and it'll bring forth its water. And the Alkat Shimoni compares the hitting of the rock to the educating of children. When a child is young, the hitting helped him learn. That's not necessarily the educational ability today. But when he's older, it's the words that make a difference. How does one learn or teach with a stone? Sir Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shaliti should have Refuah Shleima explained that initially when Moshe or Aaron taught Torah, it wasn't that they were teaching, it was the Mishnah itself or the Talmud itself that spoke through their voices. There was no limit to the length of value in what each Mishnah and each line of Gemara could offer. And the same was true with the stone. When it started to offer drops of water, there was no limit what it too could offer. All that had to happen was to let it turn into a well from which the waters would spring forth unlimited. V'dibartem el asela v'nasan meimav. Sometimes we mess that up and we don't, we push it too fast or too hard and we don't let things develop the way they're supposed to. And since Moshe and Aaron were involved in some form of chet, so they were told, Yan lo hamantem bi lakdisheni, since you haven't sanctified me, lochein lo saviu es hakal hazel aretz asher nasati lahem. That's why you're not going to bring the people into the land that I set aside for them. And of course the question has to be raised, what was so bad about hitting the rock? Wasn't Moshe supposed to hit the rock in Parshas B'Shalach under different circumstances? And so why was this the basis for such a stern punishment? Why was there a difference in the commandment from one time to another? And why keep them out of the land of Israel? So Rav Yosef Carmel Shalita, the great Rosh Kollel in Mevaseret Zion, explained that in Sefer Shmos, Moshe was afraid to take his staff, which was used to perform osos with him. There are a few mitzvos in the Torah that are utilized as osos. Bismillah is an os, the snow is an os, the tefillin are an os, Shabbos, which was first given in Mitzrayim, or maybe in Mara, was an os, and marking the doorposts in Mitzrayim with the Karban Pesach was also an os. These are all connected in one way, insofar as that they're all connected to the period before the giving of the Torah. And with the use of the matah for getting water from the rock was appropriate in Parashas B'Shalach, which was also before Matan Torah, and so therefore it was the right system at the right time. But after Har Sinai, Moshe is no longer to use the staff, as it's the time to use speech, and only to use speech. Right? And so that's what we are told. We're also told, after that episode, towards the end of the parasha, we also read about the sin of the Nachash HaNachoshes, the sin that took place with the snakes. And Bnei Yisrael are told that the solution was that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take a copper snake, and if a snake bit a person, he would look at the copper snake and he would live. So Rav Elias Feizatzal points out that the entire episode was designed to get the people to see their permanent keshet with Hashem. And he quotes the Arachaim HaKadosh, who notes that the people were supposed to learn a few lessons from the copper snake. They complained that Hashem didn't bring them to the place where there was food, leaving them in the desert instead. The snake reminded them that this was a stop to get to the people to rely on Hashem alone, looking up to Him to provide. Similarly, Rashi notes that it's not the snake that makes one live or die, but rather, when the Jews look towards Shamayim, u'mishabdin eslibam l'avim shabah Shamayim, ayu miskabim, that's when they're successful. So if that's the case, why does Hashem need the snake in the first place? Why doesn't He just tell Moshe to have the people look up to Shamayim? That should be enough. So the great Rosh Yeshiva of Amunas Yisrael, the great Mashgiach of Torah V'Das for Moshe Wolfson Shlita, explained that there is a Nachash above and a Nachash that's below. There's a Yetzer Hara above and a Yetzer Hara below. One above causes sin, and the one below can't punish, if not for the one above. And so, the true means of overcoming the fear and the snake of the and the danger of the Nachash below is to attach oneself beyond one's sins, shaking the shackle of sin free, and attaching oneself to Hashem, which brings about the refuah. Look inside, see what you got, bring it forward, and have it and use it in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Later in the Haftorah, we also read a little bit about Yiftach HaGiladi, and how the people weren't so excited with Yiftach. So yeah, at one point in time, they wanted Yiftach to come back from Eretz Tov, and they put him on them as a leader. Now, there's a tremendous debate between Yiftach and the people going on here as to how much of a leader he was supposed to be. Was Yiftach really only interested in the kavod? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal explains that a leader can't lead the people if they don't believe in him. If he's only a hired mercenary, then the people will not back him. However, when the people accept him, they're really declaring their acceptance of his role and carrying out the will of Hashem on their behalf, and that's what Yiftach wanted to see if they were going to be successful. We, in our lives, we also have a responsibility to see not what's just in front of us, but what's really beyond what's in front of us, and that is our connection to Avinu Shabbat Shamayim, about whom we ask, Galei Chavod Malchuscha Aleinu Mehera, so that we can get to the point of a Shabbat Shalom to all.